AM here in studio with State Representative Joan Moschino of Hull. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hello and Happy New
Happy
Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm glad we both got the purple message and we're both dressed in purple today. It seemed like we needed a boost today.
We look fantastic.
Oh, thank you. So do you. You know, it's interesting. Happy New Year. This is the start of a new year. And just like with a lot of people with making their New Year's resolutions or businesses saying we're going to do things this way, the legislature kicks back into high gear right now. Not that everybody hasn't been doing everything, but there's a lot of things on the agenda coming up now as everybody gets back from the holidays. And I know one of the things we talked about a little bit off air, I want to get to February 7th, but first, it's MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and there are a number of, I guess, commemorations and celebrations around the South Shore, and I know right in your district with Hull, Cohasset, and Hingham, there's a couple of very special events. You want to tell me a little bit about them?
Oh, so one of my favorite is First Parish always hosts the Unity Council in Cohasset, and they have a wonderful MLK breakfast, and then they always have the best speakers. And then this year, I believe it's the Teacher of the Year, Deshaun Washington, and I think he's the first Black educator to actually receive this honor. And so they're having him come and speak. I'm sure it will be fantastic, and I would really encourage anywhere in this area to come and to hang out with the Cohasset Diversity Committee and the Cohasset clergy in First Parish. Hull also does a wonderful one for years and years and years. I think they've moved it, so everyone in the Hull area notice No Place for Hate is actually hosting theirs in the afternoon over at Wellspring. So that should be a wonderful, thoughtful program as well. And just to really celebrate and uplift the message of Martin Luther King. And I just think it's a great way to kick off our new year.
I absolutely agree with you. Now, February 7th, that's an important day in the state legislature. And when I say Joint Rule 10, I'm not talking about the Pentagon. I'm talking about the Massachusetts legislature. Why is that an important date?
So this is a big date for all legislators, senators and reps. This is the first deadline that the legislature gives itself to start taking action around our timely filed bills. So this is the first time where you start to find out what advances in the process. And there's really three things that can kind of happen. They can say ought to pass and advance it along to say House Ways and Means or third reading. It can be held in the committee because they want to do some more work with it, or it could go to study, which is just a polite way of saying
dead man walking.
Try again next time, yeah. Joan. but it's really that first big deadline. We have a two-year session, and we're coming. This is the top of the second year, so any really big bills, anything that's going to move, really needs to start now. And we're looking ahead to July 31st is when we end formal session. Things can still happen informally, but this is the big push now for all of our bills.
And hopefully, we won't have too many major snowstorms. I just had to throw that in there. Of course, stay tuned to WATD for complete weather coverage. A couple of areas that you have been a champion for, and I know there are a couple of bills that we've been following with you. One, I know climate is very important to you. What's going on with any kind of a climate-related bill?
So we've already had a couple of wins. The Healey administration has taken steps to put in place a climate bank, which is one of the bills we filed. And, of course, the bill is still pending. Hopefully we'll need that bill to shape a little bit around and authorize the climate bank. But that's a big grant that they have filed with the EPA and the federal government for some substantial money. And the whole point of that bill is just to put inexpensive money into the hands of regular people so that they can do the retrofits on their own homes, really avail themselves of all of the opportunity to decarbonize our buildings. That's another bill we have, and we also are looking at doubling the megawatts on solar that can be deployed in Massachusetts. Most people don't think of it this way, but we also have a drought management bill, which is definitely a climate bill as well, that we are getting, looks like we'll get the nod on, and that will get, that will also advance in the process. We're hopeful that the chairs of the Climate and Energy Committee will be putting together a third big climate bill, and we're expecting bits and pieces of these bills or the whole things to come shaped. And so we're excited to see if that gets filed soon. So we'll see.
And you've also been an advocate for trying to make sure that we have continued access to local government, and that's with all the local great cable access stations, and working with trying to get a percentage of some of that streaming money that usually has gone to cable, but with people cutting back on cable, some of their funding's been cut. Where is that in the process?
So we are still actively having conversations with the chairs of Advanced IT Committee, with the Speaker's office, and with the agency that would be responsible for managing it. Mm-hmm. So we're still looking to shape it. My argument has been that there are so many just local news media deserts. I mean, all the little weekly papers are just evaporated. Mm-hmm. Thank God for WATD, for broadcasting local and regional things. So we really do need all of that local programming. Plus, people have really embraced participating in all of these local meetings online, mm-hmm. Through Zoom or whatever mechanism. And so, you know, it's starting to become more of a mandate, and this solves some of that funding problem for our local municipalities so that they can still bring you all of those committee meetings and hearings and things like that at the local level. So you really can participate in local government without actually being in the room.
That's true, and that became so even more important during the pandemic, especially for people thinking, oh, I'm going to pay attention to this. They probably had more people being aware of what was going on in local government than maybe at any other time.
Off the charts. I think the participation was off the charts. You know, a lot of these old town halls, I'm just thinking of Cohasset or Hall or Hingham, you know, they're not that big of a room. So if your select board is meeting, maybe there's 20 people in there with you. But when you sign on and log on, you can watch and you can participate, and they'd have hundreds of people on. So it was exponential in terms of the participation. And that is transparency. That is good government. That is accountability. Honestly, that's engagement. Makes it all work.
Now, what about the youth voter bill? We had a youth engagement voter bill. Samantha Bevins was in here, the young woman from Hingham who's a Dartmouth student. And that was very interesting. It says that she is proposing, well, the bill that you've proposed that she worked on with you. If you're 18, of course, you can vote in the general election. But if you're going to vote in the general election and you're not going to be 18 during the primary, you would be able to do that. Is that the easiest way to explain it?
Yes. Voter eligibility bill.
Right. And people are doing that in other states, at least, I think, 12 or 13 other states.
Yes. So I think that these young people have made their case. They were organized and effective, and they did the research. They brought it forward to us. This wasn't my idea. I can't take credit for this one. And they really made the case of voter participation. And I just think we all, whenever we have a good first experience with something, voting, for example, you're so much more likely to go back. And I think, again, speaking to good government, these are the young people. This is the next generation. We want them to be participating. We want them to be voting. That is democracy at its most basic. And yeah, so all they're saying is, if I'm going to vote for somebody in a general election, I should get a say in voting for who my party candidate is in the primary.
One more question I want to ask you about. I know there's going to be a hearing soon for a big housing bond bill. A couple of highlights in there that you think our listeners might want to know about.
Oh, absolutely. So this is a transformational amount of money, $4 billion that the Healey administration is proposing to spend. And the hearing will come up pretty soon. So if this is your subject matter and topic, start watching mass.gov and malegislature.gov for the hearing schedule. They are proposing to spend at least $1.5 billion to renovate public housing. Oh my God, anybody who lives in this local area who has a loved one in senior housing knows that it just is long, long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very exciting expenditure. And of course, because we do have the new climate laws in place, they are looking to spend all of this money and do these retrofits in these buildings through a climate lens and to spend that money green, which we know you can do for actually the same or less amount of money as it would cost to retrofit otherwise, and then all of the savings and all of the benefits come for it. So that's pretty exciting piece. I would say from my part, that's probably the single biggest thing in there that will come for our district. They're very focused on affordability and creating more affordable housing. But one of the other things that I was super excited about was I have a bill to create a better mechanism for permanent supportive housing. So think about Father Bills and all of the wonderful work that they do and how they get the stipend, they get the affordable housing. But this would create is the services to support people who are medically complex. They've been chronically homeless. They've suffered trauma. And so they don't always do well in housing
mm-hmm.
with just a modicum of supports. These people are able to stay in housing. And we know that when you stay in housing, the social determinants are off the charts positive for people. So this is how you get some of the folks off of Mass and Cass. This is how you get some of the folks out of emergency access shelters. So it's a very medically
a little prevention going a long way.
Yeah, it's really that
that's
basic.
What it sounds like.
Yeah.
Wow. Busy up at the State House.
Well, I am. No, it is busy up at the State House, and it's nice to have had a holiday break, and I hope everyone that's listening enjoyed theirs. But it's also nice to get back to work, too.
Absolutely. And, of course, Joan Moschino, you represent Hull, Hingham, and Cohasset, and we appreciate you joining us today and filling us in on just a few things that are happening in the state legislature.